Just have a quick prayer. Lord, we give this time to you, for you to speak to us. And please give me your words to speak, and open our hearts to hear what you would say, the message behind the words, for each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our theme today, comfort, strengthening, and encouragement. Nice to see new faces each week. We've even got a dog with us. How lovely. How lovely. Please don't bring any cats. As Colin said, it's our anniversary coming up in April, so we've been going for 9 months since New Life Church began. I think well done to all of us for being part of its founding, its sustenance, its growth. A new church is a fragile thing, and things don't always go smoothly. But you expect that. If we're doing the right things for God, then we get opposition from the devil. Satan doesn't like it when Christians move forward, does he? A new church, especially a strongly evangelical or evangelistic church like ours, is in the front line. And when we're in the front line, we get shot at. It's just the way things are. So how do we keep going when there's a battle going on? We need encouragement, we need strength from God, we need his comfort. Battle? What battle? Well, as you know, it's a spiritual battle. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18, the armour of God. It's in the leaflet here. Let's just read through that. The armour of God, this is from the NIV. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and there are plenty of those, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can distinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Not just some of them, all of them. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. So, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You're probably familiar with the passage, those of you who have been Christians for a while, but perhaps you'll forgive me if I remind us about the concept. Firstly, it's a very strong passage of encouragement and strengthening. It's very powerful in the message it gives to us. Paul tells us how to defend ourselves against spiritual attack. He begins with, be strong. What, in our own strength? No, be strong in the Lord. The strength we need comes from God. Our faith gives us the right to share in God's strength. Put on the full armour of God. This is spiritual protection. Well, they liken it to the armour of the day, which would be a Roman soldier's armour. Why do we need this protection? So that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Don't forget, the devil is behind all the ills of the world. Ever since Satan was thrown out of heaven as punishment for his rebellion, he's been trying to get his revenge. Satan introduced sin into the world. And we've had that inheritance ever since. Satan is using sin to prevent anybody from getting into heaven. That's his aim. That's his revenge. Stop people getting to heaven. What have been the greatest troubles in the news over the last 2 or 3 years? Is there a spiritual problem behind it? I think so. Our struggle as Christians is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual rulers, authorities and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I don't propose to go into more advanced understandings of demons, deliverance ministry and their realms, but I do want you to understand this. Point number one, the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 2, 7 to 9, it's on the page there, "You made him a little lower than the angels." This is talking to God. "You made him a little lower than the angels," so him is Jesus. "You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet." In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. So God crowned Jesus with glory and honor, put everything, not just the things of the material world, but everything under Jesus' feet. So nothing is not subject to him. Is that clear? Even Satan and his demons are under Jesus' feet. You see the position? Everything under Jesus' feet. You agreed on that? Because that's what it says in the scriptures. Okay. Point number two. In Ephesians 2, 1 to 6, made alive in Christ, it tells us we were rescued from death, spiritual death, and raised up with Jesus. Listen. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Dead meaning, not physically, but spiritually lost. Dead, not going to heaven. That's how you were in the past. "Transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Who's the ruler of the kingdom of the air? It's Satan and his demons. Okay? They are bound within the confines of the earth. They were thrown out of timeless heaven, down into time, down to the earth. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." It's just the way it is, chaps. That's the way things are out there. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Do you get the picture? Spiritually, we're up there with Jesus in the heavenly realms. We have that right because of our faith. Spiritually, we're located at the same level of Jesus, seated with him in the heavenly realms. Okay? Everything's under Jesus' feet, even Satan's under Jesus' feet, and we're seated with Jesus at that spiritual level. Because of that, because God's put Satan down there beneath Jesus' feet, we're up here on that spiritual, we have that right to be up there with him. Then where is Satan in relation to us? Under our feet. Okay? We have that right, that authority, through faith in Jesus Christ. So he's underfoot. The scripture says Jesus gave us the right to trample snakes and scorpions. Spiritually, that's Satan. He's only a little demon. Okay? As long as I stand firm in Jesus Christ, no demon frightens me. And no demon frightens you. That's the strength of the faith that God has given us. So remember, when we're feeling spiritually got at, we're seated with Jesus up there, Satan's down there, he can't harm us unless we give him permission. That reminds me of the vampire lore in the films and the stories, that vampires can't cross the threshold into a house unless they're invited in. Have you come across that in the films? And it's like, we don't give Satan permission to enter our lives, and that's why we need to stay with Jesus, spiritually speaking. I refuse to give Satan entry into my life. And it says somewhere, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him something he can latch on to. So you follow the logic of this. It's very encouraging and strengthening stuff. Powerful element in our protection in this armour of God. We put it on in prayer. So what are the six parts of God's armour? Come on. Belt of truth. Breastplate. Helmet of salvation. Shield of faith. Sword of the Spirit. Shoes of the gospel of peace. Okay. The belt or girdle of God's truth. Now, it's interesting the order they put it there. I find it quite hard to remember. But the girdle of truth goes on first, because truth is the foundation of all things. It also stops your trousers falling down. So that's possibly what the Roman soldiers would put on first, the belt. Next goes the breastplate of God's righteousness, not ours. So we've got to put on that righteousness, adopt the righteousness of God. Quite tricky. Next, the shoes of the gospel of peace. So we take the good news of Jesus with us wherever we go. Then the shield of faith, and that's the faith that comes from God and protects us. It extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Not just some of them, all of them. And that's God's faith, the shield. The helmet of salvation, if you like, as if to protect our minds, but it's saying, I have been saved. I am being saved, and I will be saved. It's that constant flow of salvation is there. Finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. How does that work in spiritual terms? Well, think about Jesus. How did he answer Satan when he was being tempted in the wilderness? It is written. It is written. The Word of God. So it's important that we read the Bible or listen to it on tape so it goes in here. Even if we don't remember it, it's still in there. Even if we can't quote chapter and verse, Romans 8 verse 1 says such and such, therefore there is now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the only one I can remember. But it's in there somewhere. And the Holy Spirit can remind us of these things and bring them to the surface when we need them. That's what it's about. Hebrews 4, verse 12, says, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Ouch. So we must be careful that we use the Word of God responsibly and in a godly way. Check that it is God prompting us to say it, not just our own reflex responses, lest we cause harm. But it's worth noting that the Word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Jesus could sense the thoughts and attitudes of Satan, of the Pharisees, of those who wanted to stone the woman caught in adultery, of the rich young ruler who was righteous apart from his love of his great wealth. Okay, back to the armour of God. How do we put it on? What's it mean? Well, we do it in a prayer. The order in which we do it doesn't matter. It needs to be put on. I find it easiest to remember them all if I go sort of heads downwards and I pick up the shield and I pick up the sword. So it's the helmet, breastplate, the belt, the shoes, the shield, the sword. Okay, now let's practice. I'd like you to close your eyes and just go through this prayer with me, because it's quite an easy one to remember if you just think about that Roman armour. Lord Jesus, in your name we put on the armour of God. We put on the helmet of salvation. Well, just imagine that helmet going into place, the meaning of salvation. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the belt of truth. God's truth, not ours. We put on the shoes of the gospel of peace so that we take peace wherever we go. We take up the shield of faith to protect us from all those fiery darts of the enemy. And we pick up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And Lord, please give us the right Word of God at the right time. And I like to finish off with a line from Isaiah 61. And we cover this with a garment of praise. The garment of praise. Amen. Okay. The devil doesn't like it when we praise God. That's our best response when the devil's having a go. Armour on, praise the Lord. So, do you think we could remember that prayer? Is that simple enough? Because I recommend you put it on once a day. If you go through a difficult patch, when you get up and when you go to bed, twice a day. And if it makes a difference, could you tell me, just privately sometime, because I'd like to know what your reaction is, what's happened for you by putting that on. Right, so that's a very practical way we can strengthen ourselves, encourage ourselves. How else can we be encouraged? We can pray, we can ask God to help us. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is Comforter. Comforter. Parakletos in Greek. And you may have heard of the Holy Spirit spoken of in theological circles as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter. And prayer works, doesn't it? Particularly if it is prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it's good to begin our prayers with, Lord, teach me how to pray. Give me your words to pray. Give me your inspiration. How do you want me to pray? Teach me, Lord. And this word paraclete, comforter, and its variations has different meanings in the Greek. And it isn't just the arms round there kind of comfort. Let's look at this slide here. This is where it's difficult to translate exactly from Greek into English. Now we've got the very common term, paraklesis, which can mean advocate, a counsellor, advisor, an intercessor, someone who comes alongside, someone who's called to help. And it's done in terms of, well, comfort is translated a lot as comfort. You get encouragement, it's translated as consolation sometimes. Exhortation. Those are the main uses of the word paraklesis that I put in blue there. Now, exhortation, that's urging someone on for some future action. Now think of the word comfort. The root comes from Latin, cum fortis. Cum means with, fortis means strong, strength. So with strength, something that strengthens. Comfort, that kind of comfort. And on the Bayeux tapestry, there's part of the picture that shows the king prodding one of his soldiers in the bottom with his spear. And it says, King so-and-so comforteth his soldiers. Come on, you can do it. Get in there. So exhortation, the same word here. Exhortation, this is urging future action, but it can also mean the comfort, which is comfort for a past experience. So it's a much more encompassing word in the Greek. So here's with strength. Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, the Comforter, Holy Spirit, and a strengthener. And a strengthener. Another word used for comfort is oikodome, which is to edify, to build up, to promote our growth spiritually. So those are the words you'll find in the New Testament. And they've got this common root, parakletos, paraklesis. And sometimes this word is used as well. I like looking into the Greek to see what's behind it, because sometimes there's a deeper meaning there, a bit more to it. And English hasn't got the word that expresses this kind of comfort with this kind of exhortation all in one. So they're all encouraging things, that comfort for past experience, the exhortation. Think of the word encourage, to give something courage, to give someone courage. What else comes from God to encourage and strengthen and comfort us? Well, there's prophecy. That's a whole separate sermon. But in 1 Corinthians 14, just briefly, about the gifts of prophecy and tongues, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So we've all got to do that, ask God for spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Not something spoken about or talked about or preached about or heard these days, except in, you know, a few churches. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. So we do need prophetic word in the church. The prophetic word of God is people speaking out what God would speak to people for that situation, for that moment. And look how Paul perceives the encouragement we get from God. If you turn over to the back. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-7, the God of all comfort. Look how many times the word comfort appears in these four verses. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that, why does he comfort us? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. We receive it from God, we pass it on to others. God comforts us, we comfort others. We strengthen, we encourage, we help them with their distress. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Remember, comfort means to encourage as well. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. He mentions comfort 7 times in those 4 verses.
From friends,
from one another. We can encourage one another, give appreciation for what people have done or for how they are. A word of thanks or praise. Build one another up. Look for the opportunity. How important is this in a growing church? Very. So just think for a moment. You don't have to say anything, but what is your perception when someone encourages you? How do you feel?
Good.
Yeah. What's it do to us inside that makes us feel good? Why do we feel better because someone's given us a word of praise or encouragement?
Strengthens you.
It strengthens you. Yeah. You're not alone. That's right. You don't feel, gosh, am I doing the right thing here? Someone else has said, that's great.
You feel valued as a person.
So it builds us up. So it's edify means. Edify as in edifice, building. Building us up. Okay. So how could each one of us encourage someone else? Are there particular people you can think of that are good at encouraging us? I know Collar always encourages me. I get an email out of the blue from time to time just encouraging me. Thanks or praise or a verse. So how could we encourage someone else? Not just in the church, but outside the church. Can we become known as encouragers? Let's finally look at Psalm 23. I find this one of the great comforting psalms. Well, let's just read it through. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That says so much to me about being a Christian. Because life sometimes is like walking through that valley of shadow. But with God, we're on a journey. Once we decide we want to be a Christian, we make that commitment to Jesus. we're saying, Jesus, you go in the driving seat, I'm going to sit in the back. I'm going to trust you with my life. And sometimes he takes us through difficult places, and it'll feel like that valley of shadow. And yet, look at the green pastures at the other end. Look at the table he's going to prepare for me. The only way out is through. The only way out is through. We've got to go through these things. I think he'll knock a few chips off us and awkwardnesses on the way. And he changes us. This is a life-changing organisation. The church, the body of Christ. Lena and I prayed together for a word from the Lord, and we feel Jesus would say this to us all. I will encourage my people if they will listen to my word and do my will. Seek me wherever you go, wherever you are, for I am with you. Whatever trials you face, I am with you. However strong you feel, I am stronger. However lost you feel, you cannot be lost if you follow me. I am the hound of heaven that seeks you out and brings you back to the fold. My love is like an everlasting stream. I will never forget you. I am with you to the end of time. Amen. Perhaps you'd like to just close your eyes a moment. And maybe put down what's in your hands and just focus on God a moment. Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill us. Where we're hurting inside, Lord, please give us that arms round comfort. Where there are things you want us to do and we hold back, give us that encouraging, exhorting comfort. Where we've got difficult situations and we don't know how to deal with them, please come alongside us. Please be our advisor, our counsellor. Give us the gift of wisdom, which is to speak the right words to the right people, the right occasion, for the right reason. Your words, Lord. Show us how we can encourage others. And Lord, we want to be part of your ministry, part of your way forward, your way of truth and life and light, to walk on your narrow path. It's difficult to say for some of us, but Lord, whatever the cost, we say yes. We give you our lives and ask you to take lead. Come into each one of us, Lord Jesus, and be our Lord and Master. In Jesus' name, amen. You might just want a minute in silence just to reflect on what God showed you.